Thank you for visiting our website today. You are listening to one of our Sunday sermons from Grace City Church.
Today we come to the final deposit on the principle of love. We have spoke about the principle of love, about God's love for us, and how are we to respond to God's love. Once we finish this today, for me, we're going to do the book of 1 and 2 Peter. Can I encourage you, read 1 and 2 Peter. And the pastoral team and me were sitting down 2 weeks ago as we come to, you know, grab and try to understand 1 and 2 Peter. And when we do 1 and 2 Peter, we would have finished half the New Testament book. That means if you have been in this church, you have finished half the New Testament book in this place. And out of those that New Testament book that we have looked at, I must say to you, as a pastoral team, 1 and 2 Peter is a very, very difficult book. We are trying to understand what is the thought behind Peter. What is the clear message behind 1 and 2 Peter? We wrestle with it. We thank God that there's too much thinking and prayer. God revealed to us what is the message on 1 and 2 Peter. So we want to share it with you from our heart. But to do that, we need you to go and study. What book is that? 1 and 2 Peter. Go and read it. If you read it once, read it twice, read it three times, read it four times. Read as much as you can so that when you and I come and we start this book, we know what plane are we talking from? What level are we talking from so that we are able, you know, to really understand the book and be blessed by the writing of Peter. Today, we're talking about the principle of love. We talk about how God loves us. And I'm telling you, it's the love of God that really challenges our heart. How much He loves us. So much that He gave us His only Son. And the very thought of God's loving us should so stir our hearts to gratitude and to thankfulness. Should cause something inside here. You know, love always need a response. And so when you know that God loves you so much, the only correct response, as we share, is to love who? Is to love God back. Is to love God. And that is good. But the Bible tells us that loving God is only the first response. The second response that is so important is that when you are loved by God and when you love God, the second right response is to love what? Is to love others. Now, Children Church have this song called J-O-Y. J-O-Y. And the song says, Jesus first and you are last. How you like that? You are last. And others, O is others in between. And the Children Church love to sing this song with the, you know, action, J-O-Y. And I think sometime in life, we can forget that Jesus is first. Say amen to that. That Jesus should always be first. And if He is not first, you will find that others and you will be in trouble. So J-O-Y is a wonderful song that tells us and reminds us that Jesus is first, you are last, and others in between. So when you love God, you are empowered to love others. And to love and to be loved, you know, is in each one of us. And if you are loved and you don't love, you will find yourself incomplete and unfulfilled. You see, your life is not made to just get love. How many of you want to get love? Love me, love me, love me, love me, love me. If you are just getting love all the time and you don't love, something is not right. Or you are the kind of person who give love. And I do know that giving love is quite exhausting. It's quite draining that you're always giving love, giving love, giving love. And you never seem to have love. There's no infill of love. You'll find that when you are just on one side, give and don't receive love, you will find yourself unfulfilled and incomplete. God has made you to love and to be loved. And one of the important areas of to love is to love others. Jesus said this, that he's going to add to this great and the first commandment, that love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. Jesus said, I'm going to add something to it. And this is what Jesus said. What I'm going to add, the second part of this commandment, is as important as the first one. Jesus never said, well, what I'm going to add to this first and great commandment of loving God, what I'm going to add, this is inferior, this is second. He said, no, what I'm going to add, what I'm adding, this second command, is as equally important as the first one. That means loving God and loving others is equally important in the sight of God. Now, this is very powerful because somehow the Bible is very clear that if you say you love God, how many of you say you love God? And the Bible is very clear in John chapter 4. It says, if you say you love God and you cannot love your brother and sister, how can you love someone who you cannot see? God is God, you cannot see. He's spirit. He said, how can you love someone that you cannot see? And then you cannot love someone who you can see. So God equates. Loving him is equal to loving what? Others. That if you say, I love God and I don't love my brother and sister, this is what the Bible says. You are a liar. Nobody wants to be called a liar. I mean, if someone call you a liar, you react. How many of you would react? Put up your hand. We all will react. You call me a liar. But that's what the Bible says. That it's important for us to love God and to love others because they are connected. And then when Jesus said that you are to love others, he put the important place to start. He said, love those is in those are in the household of faith. Who is in the household of faith? You are in the household of faith. He said, love the brother and sister that is in this household of faith. It's not an option. It is a commandment. A commandment. And Jesus called this a new commandment given by him. In John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35. So now I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciple. Wow. What a way to love. Now, okay, God, I'm willing to love my brothers and my sister. He said, no, there's not area of love for others. And I want you to love your enemy. Now that is stretching. How many of you say that is stretching? Love your enemy. And this is what Jesus said, but I said to you, love your enemy, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who despisingly use you and persecute you. This is totally out of the norm. Love your enemy. Now, some of people may think, you know, the Old Testament never talk about loving your enemy. That's the Old Testament. God also talk about loving your enemy. He said this, if you find a donkey that belongs to your enemy, the Bible say, don't keep the donkey, return the donkey back to who? Your enemy. And the Bible say that if you see your enemy and his donkey is carrying a heavy load, the Bible tell us in the Old Testament, don't just walk away. Go and help your enemy. So the Bible never say in the Old Testament, hate your enemy. The Bible does talk about love your enemy. Only that Jesus Christ came and put it in a very new way of how to love your enemy. He said, you love them by blessing them. And you don't have to be near to bless them. You love them by praying for them. You don't have to be near to pray for them. You can be in your house and pray for your enemy. Now, there's one thing I want to talk about enemy. Say the word with me, enemy. Remember this. In your life, don't make enemy out of anybody. As a Christian, you don't have enemy. Say amen. If people don't like you and make you an enemy, it is not your problem. It's their problem. But when you make someone your enemy as a Christian, it becomes your problem. As far as you're concerned, the Bible says, we don't make enemy out of anybody. If they choose to make an enemy out of us, it's not your problem. It is their problem. So Jesus said, love your enemy. And why does Jesus say that? Instead of responding for an eye for an eye or a tooth for a tooth, why did Jesus say, love your enemy? Respond differently. Respond in a Christ-like love. Because Matthew chapter 5, verse 45 to verse 48 say this, that when you love your enemy, then you are working out of your true self, God-created self. That's what the Bible said, that when you love your enemy, you are allowing God to work out something in you, not the old self, the true self that is created in the image of who? Of Jesus Christ. Because you are an expression, you are a picture of who He is. So when you love your enemy, you are allowing God to work out your true self, your God-created self. This is what God does. God sent the rain and the sun for the righteous and the unrighteous. He never said, only to those who I love, I give them sun and rain. Those who don't, let's freeze them to death. No, He gave to both of them. In the same way, the Bible says, you know, in the same way, if you only love those who can be loved, you don't expect a bonus from God. Anyone can do that. In the word, what I'm saying is, when you love your enemy, grow up, you are king's subject. Now, live like it. Live out your God-created identity. Live generously and graciously towards others, that the way God lives through you. So the Bible said that when you love your enemy, you're living what character? You're living God's character. You are displaying what quality? His quality. Whose identity are you showing? His identity. When you don't love the enemy and you hate them, whose identity are you displaying? The devil character. We are God's children, say amen. He lives in us, that's what the Bible says. Therefore, we desire always to display the love of God that is in our heart. You know, one thing Paul said that when you love your enemy, you are actually putting burning coals on their head. What does it mean by that? It means that by you being good, you break the cycle of evil. You realize that by you being good, you make them feel ashamed. You make them regret their reaction. Now, I have discovered one thing in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1. A generous response diffuses anger, but a sharp tongue kindles a temper fire. How many of you have learned that in life? A soft answer can turn away anger. Now, not long ago, a family came to see me, a Christian family, said, Pastor, I have this problem. The landlord, you know, I have moved out of the house. The landlord has come to me for $3,000 damage to the house after they inspected the house. He wants to keep my bond money, and I still have to pay them, the landlord, $1,000. So I told this couple, I said, negotiate with them. He said, no, the landlord is very unreasonable. He is so angry, he is this and that. He is so unreasonable, he will not give in. I said, okay, so you are going to the tribunal. He said, we are going to the tribunal. I said, see how. And in the tribunal, the landlord will not give even 1 inch. So where is the next stage? They are going to go to the magistrate court to sort out this issue. They came to me. I said to them this, look, give me the phone number of the landlord. I will speak to the landlord. The landlord is from Malaysia. He's a Sikh. You know, Sikh, the one who wears turban. I said, give me his phone number. Give me the breakdown of what he wants you to pay. I will speak to the landlord. See, the Bible tells us, this is common sense in life. I have lived with this principle, and I hope you also live with the same principle. In life, when there is no trouble, don't find trouble. How many of you learned that? Very important. In life, when there is a small trouble, make it into no trouble. Don't make it into bigger trouble. You know people make small trouble into bigger trouble? In life, when there is a big trouble, make it into a small trouble, and from a small trouble, make it into no trouble. That's what Jesus said. Blessed are the what? Are the peacemaker, for they shall be called the children of God. So I said, you give it to me, I will talk to the land. So I was praying and said, God, what am I going to tell this landlord? He is so hostile. He said, what am I going to tell to the landlord? So I called the landlord. And of course, in the phone, she was quiet. Who is that? So I told the landlord, I am a priest. You know, knowing that sick people, they respect the priest. They call that holy man. So I'm the priest. I'm the priest of this two person. And of course, she gave me a year full of what happened. So I said to them, okay, I will speak to them. But as a priest, you know, I'm asking you to forgive them on my behalf. If they have done anything wrong, please, you know, forgive them on my behalf. And I tell you, a soft answer turned away what? Turned away what? All of a sudden, she on the phone, her tone changed. And she said, oh, okay, Pastor, we don't need to go to the court. All you have to do is tell them to pay me half of the $1,000. I said, okay, very good. I will tell them to come and see you. So I talked to this couple. I said, the first thing you go and see the landlord is this. My pastor, thank you for being so generous. You see, people wants to be praised. People wants to be loved. But you're not doing it in the, what do you call, as a lie. It's the truth. He has been generous. So go and talk to the person and talk to the owner, landlord, nicely. And I tell you, they went to see the landlord and talk to the landlord nicely. And what the landlord said to them, and only to pay me $500. You cannot pay me $300. And you don't have to pay me all at one time. You can pay me in 3 installments. Can you see the change? The change of what you can do in your life if you will just learn to give a soft answer. And that's why the Bible tells us that to love others, including our enemy. And when we do that, we overcome evil with good. We break the cycle of evil with our good deed, with our good words, and with our good attitude. Can you do that? Can you do that? You can, as God's children. If you can't, ask him to give you the grace. That's what the grace of God is all about. The grace that is able to empower you. So, I want to give you 3 principles how you love others. I know there are many principles that I can look at, but I just want to talk about 3 principles. First one is, love others like Christ loves you. This is what Jesus said. Let me give you a new commandment. Love one another in the same way I love you. You love one another. This is how everyone will recognize that you are my disciple when they see the love that you have for each other. Who was Jesus talking to? He was talking to his disciples there, and he was talking to those that will believe later. And Jesus raised the bar of love. See, many of us is, you love me, I love you. You love me 10, I love you 10. But Jesus said, I want you to love, not the way how you are loved by the other person. I want you to love the way how I love you. Now, that is raising the bar. That is raising a very high bar. And I'm telling you, in your own human strength, it is not possible to love others the way Jesus loves you. In your own personal love, you will run out of it. You will find that your emotional tank has got more than one hole. It drains. So, in order to love others the way Jesus loves you, you cannot do it with your own love. Your own love is selfish and self-centered. Your own love is me first. And your own love has got limitation. The only way to do it is you need the love of God. The agape love of God, the unconditioned, unlimited love of God shed upon your heart, not by knowledge, but by the Holy Spirit. I tell you, when you cannot do it, just go to the small corner and say, Holy Spirit, let your love come and fill my heart now. And let me operate and speak with your love. If you really believe, you'll be surprised how it changed your nature, how it changed your character. I have done it many times. I have been in places where I do not want to be. Have you been there before? Where all you have is really to the bottom, no nothing left. The only grace, the only strength is to go to God and say, fill me. Give me what I don't have. And that's what the Bible tells us. The agape love that flows from inside to one another. And this love is able to love the oldest, the youngest, and the weakest. This love will cross racial barrier and status. It doesn't matter. Someone who is not rich or poor, it doesn't matter. You love the way Jesus calls you to love. And Jesus said that when you have such a love, it's such a great testimony to the world, because the world is looking at us and they want to see whether we have the love that Jesus preached about, that Jesus talked about, and they can only see it when we love one another. And I say, in this area of loving one another, we can do better and do more, especially when there is disagreement, when we don't see eye to eye. May we behave not like the world that devour each other. May we behave like the family of God, the community of love, that the world may see that we are God's children. So how do we able to do that kind of love? The key is in John chapter 15, verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so I love you. Abide in my love. The key is that the only way you can love is to abide in where? In His love. If you abide in hostility, you will be hostile. Don't you think so? If you abide in unforgiveness, you will be unforgiving. If you abide in revenge, you will be revengeful. So the Bible says the only way that you can love is to abide where? There is only one place you can abide. There is only one shelter that you can go under. And that is abide in His love. Stay and remain in His love, because it's in His love that you can experience His length, His wealth, His breadth, and His depth. So that love of God that comes into you, and when you come under the love, you can extend to others the width, the height, the depth, and the length of His love. Wow! I think it's so powerful that the love that Jesus talked about is not your love. It's the love from Him. It comes from abiding. Just like the vine cannot produce any fruit as long as it stays out, it has to abide. God, I don't have. Help me. And He is most gracious and most willing to help you. I'm getting hot. Now, church, can I say something? Today, this is beautiful. Don't you think this is good? This high tech that we have is wonderful. You know what is happening today? We text each other. We WhatsApp each other. We email or we block to each other. But we are not prepared to what? Call, meet, and have a cup of coffee and talk. How many realize that? And that's why relationship among God's people are very weak. Because we are related not by seeing. We are related by this electronic device. We need to change the culture. Can we do that? Can we make a decision to change the culture as much as you can? People text because they don't want to have a face-to-face response. But we are not that kind of people. So I encourage you. I encourage you, you know, to make effort to have connection, to make effort to see each other face by face. Amen? Now, so the first principle to love one another is to love like Jesus loved. The second principle is practice the golden rule. How many of you know the golden rule? It's called the golden rule because it is gold. It says that here is a simple rule of thumb. Simple rule of thumb, God for behavior. Ask yourself, what do you want people to do for you? Then grab the initiative and do it for them. Add up God's law and prophet, and this is what you get. So the Bible tells, practice the golden rule. So ask yourself, what do I want people to do for me? What do I want Paul to do for me? I want Paul to say nice things about me. Well, that's good. So what must I do? I must say nice things about what? About him. I want Paul to buy me lunch. Yes, that's good. But what should I do? Why don't I buy him lunch first? Get you know what I mean? That's what the Bible teaching. The Bible teaching is don't sit there and wait. The world is this. Let me wait and see. Let me wait and wait and wait. The world is this. Well, I will do maybe less than what you do to me. Or maybe the same as what you do to me. But Jesus' teaching is take the extra mile. Take the extra step. Whatever you want people to do, don't wait. If you want a brother and sister here today to make you a cup of coffee, don't wait. Go and make them a cup of coffee after service. Amen. You want them to serve you, don't wait. You serve them because the teaching of the Bible is this. You be the initiator because God is the initiator. God did not wait for us. He sent his son into this world. And on that, he called us. You know, if we want to love one another, it's a way that we should do is stop waiting, but we should initiate it. But people say this, you know what? It's common sense. Don't you think it's common sense? I want to tell you, you'd be surprised to find out how much people in our world today, even in the church, that lack of this thing called what? Common sense. Sometimes you wonder where they put their brain. You know, and it's so important, you know, that we are different from the world. The Bible tells the golden rule, call us to rise above the norm, call us to set the tempo, call us to be a leader to do and to be, to do more and to be more. Amen. You do first. Relationship with in-laws are never easy. So this young lady, Mary, let's call her name. A name that is not here, so you don't get offended. Let me see what name. Linda. We don't have a name Linda. So Linda, married to this family. She stay, and the mother-in-law stays with her. She didn't like the mother-in-law. I know it's not in this place. Everybody here loves their mothers-in-law. You know, And she don't like the mother-in-law, and she could not stand her. And the mother-in-law was very hard to get along. So she went to the doctor and said, "Doctor, can you help me? Can you help me? Can you give me some poison? But you must be slow. Slow one, not too fast. Slowly. I want to get rid of my mother-in-law." And the doctor said, yeah, I'll give you this medicine. You give to her bit by bit. But then there's one thing you must do. In order for people not to suspect you, from now onward, when you put a little bit in her drink, be very nice to her. Start to be very nice to her. So that when she dies, nobody can say you poison her. So yes, true. That's what I would do. So every time she put a little bit, so very nice to the mother-in-law. Put a little bit, very nice to the mother-in-law. But her being nice to her mother-in-law, actually fact, changed who? Changed the mother-in-law. Changed her. And they became very good friends. So now she has to go back to the doctor and say, "Doctor, can you help me? Because I've given this poison. Now my mother-in-law and me has become good friends. Can you, give me something to counter it?" And the doctor turned around and said, "Look, all I give to you was vitamin. The poison always is in your mind. In your mind." That's the golden rule. The golden rule is do unto others what you want others to do unto you. What about if I do all this thing and I did not get a return? It does happen, don't you think so? Yeah. Yeah? You do all this thing, you doesn't get a return. Then this is what the Bible say. The comfort is this. Do it as if it's unto who? Unto God. Can you understand? So in both ways you win. You do it to the person, you get some good result. Praise God for that. You do it to the person, you don't get good result. Praise God, because you are doing it to who? As unto God. So both ways you win. But if you don't do, you don't get anything. So practice the golden rule, which is so important for us. The golden rule that Jesus taught us, and how this golden rule can actually fact help our relationship. It can help our relationship. In fact, the golden rule is tied to this principle of sowing and reaping. If you don't sow, you cannot reap. If you sow good seed and you water it, you will get a what? Harvest. A good harvest. The third principle. Love others, share what you have. Now, this is a challenge. Because in the world that we are living in, is what I can get, what is it for me? Serve me. And Jesus asks us to go against this me culture. And be a generous sharer. Share what you have. To give. And not to get. To share and not to hoard. To be generous and not to be stingy. And where should I start? He says, start with those in the household of faith. Start with those who are in need. Because the Bible teaches us it is more blessed to what? It is more blessed to give than to receive. Because when you share what you have, share the good, say amen. When you share what you have, you are practicing what Jesus did. He went about doing what? Doing good. And this is what John, 1 John chapter 3, verse 17 to 20. If someone has enough money to live well and see a brother and sister in need, but show no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? Dear children, let us not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our action. Our action will show that we belong to the truth, so that we will be confident when we stand before God. So the Bible said that when we are willing to share, we have this confidence when we stand before who? When we stand before God. And I want you to know, one day we will all stand before God. When we stand before Him, my question is, are you on the left side or on the right side? Are you the goat or the sheep? Because the Bible clearly tells us in Matthew chapter 25, verse 35 to 40, I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was stranger, and you invited me. I need clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you gave me, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will ask him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? And when we see you sick or in prison and you go to visit you? The king replied, truly I say to you, whatever you did for me, one of the least of this brother and sister of mine, you did it for me. I want to thank God. You know, Anna that has been in a hospital for Junab. There are powerhouse members from the north, you know, that have been going to visit her and have been going to her place, you know, Christmas time go and have a Christmas caroling over there. And it's important because the Bible says that when you do it to this person, the least of them, you are doing it who? To him. So here you have left, right. Those that stand on the left were goat. Those that stand on the right were sheep. They stand before God. So what is the difference between the sheep, between the goat and the sheep? What's the difference? The difference is this. The goat never give, never share, never do anything. But the sheep, meh, 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 who are the sheep? They give, they share, and they did. So one day I'm going to stand, all us going to stand before Jesus Christ. What do you want to be, the sheep or the goat? I choose, and I long to be the sheep. You know, and it's so important because you must be willing to share, say amen. You know, as parents, what are the first few things we tell our children? Share. Share your toys. Come on. Share your food. Come on, you know. As parents, we teach our children to what? We teach our children to share. Why do we teach our children to share? Where are you? You disappeared. Really? High tech. And why do we teach our children to share? Because we don't want our children to grow up to become selfish, you know, and we don't want them to become spoiled. How about us? The power of sharing. Sharing, you know, life, sharing meal, sharing burden, sharing victory, sharing what you have to the needy. And those in the household of faith declare that you are a disciple of Jesus Christ. You see, to be the church, to be the community of love, we cannot cancel, we cannot remove the power of what? Sharing. The power of sharing is here that the world sees that we are God's children. Sharing the need. Sharing the burden. Amen. So, love one another. How do you use it? Love the way Jesus loved. Practice the golden rule. And share. Now, I taught you to you last week. Loving God. Loving one another. Or loving others. Is not difficult to preach. Now, this is one thing that I really struggle in preparing the message, and that is loving yourself. This love of God that has been poured into my heart by the Holy Spirit My first response is to love up, love upward. That is love God. My second response is to love out. That is to love others. And this is the third final response. To love where? Inwardly. To love yourself. Jesus said, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Now, when you look at this scripture, love your neighbor as you love yourself, it can be looked at as one sentence. If you look at it as one sentence, then Jesus is saying, based on this, that because you love yourself, now love others just the way you love yourself. Now, we know, as Paul say, that we all love ourselves. We love our body. We don't beat our body. We take care of our body, right? So Jesus said, when you look at this scripture, you can look at it one way, love others as you love yourself. So love others because you already love yourself. Can you see that? But not everyone is brought in a good environment, in the loving environment. Because how you love yourself, a lot has to do in your upbringing, in the environment that you are in. Some of us may come from very difficult and very tough environment. And when we come out from that kind of environment where we don't have, this is very important. When we grow up without affirmation, if you grow up without approval, if you grow up without acceptance, these three are very important. Even the Father has to say about Jesus Christ, this is my beloved Son whom I'm what? Well pleased. If you have grown up in your childhood and you don't experience affirmation, acceptance, and approval, it is very hard to have a sense of worth. It's very hard to see yourself of value. If you have grown up in that way, then it's very hard for you to love yourself. Now, I grew up having problem to love myself. Nobody has told me that if you look at the mirror, and if you look at the mirror and you see yourself, and you see yourself with a good pair of eyes, with a more positive and more affirming pair of eyes, when you look at the mirror at yourself, it does help you emotionally. It makes you a better person. Nobody tells me that. So, when you look at the mirror, and you have this, I crave for love, I crave for affirmation, I crave for acceptance. You know, I cannot even remember when my father ever said, I love you. I know he does, because he provides for everything. But when you are craving for all these things, you look at the mirror, you don't feel good about who? About yourself. And if you don't feel good about yourself, and if you cannot love yourself, and today, you are 50, you are 60, you are already going to be 70, and you still struggle with this issue, I want you to know two words. Turn around and tell somebody two words. Just two words. Turn around and tell them, stop it! You know, I have to tell myself to stop it. Because love yourself is a very difficult subject. You can come to one extreme where you hate yourself so much that you become a self-hater. Or you can go to the other extreme where you love yourself so much that it becomes narcissism, the love of self. So, I have looked in the world. All this self-love promoted and taught by the world are not from the Bible. All this self-worth that is in the world is DIY. You know what is DIY? Do it yourself. See yourself in yourself so that you feel good about yourself. Feel and find your worth in yourself. And all this self-love become self-absorption, self-seeking, self-important, self-centered. And what happened? It makes you selfish, individualistic, and egotistic. So full of yourself that there is no room or little room left for others. The self-love that is in this world, that is taught by psychologists, and then you can find them in all these books, is the philosophy of this world. The spirit of this age and the self-love that is proclaimed and promoted in this world is against family, against God, and against community. This is what the Bible says from Paul. He warned us in 2 Timothy chapter 3 from verse 1 to verse 5 that in the last day, people will become lover of what? Lover of self rather than lover of God. In the last day, self will take the place of God. People will worship self than worship God. So we find all this bombardment in our world. So Jesus say, you got to love yourself as you love your neighbor, not based on the philosophy of this world, but based on what? On the Bible. So how do you do that? You have to love yourself, seeing yourself in Christ and his finished work on the cross, not as a defeated person, but as a victorious person. Not as a sinner, you are forgiven, as a redeemed person. Not broken or fallen, but a person that is forgiven, loved, accepted, not because of anything I have done, simply because of Jesus Christ. That is where I find my worth. Only when you accept the power of what Christ has done for you, the power of his redemption, the power of what he has done for you, then can there be freedom in you, that when you look inside, I have this Jesus that's in me. When I look inside, I don't see lack. I see completeness that's in Christ. Then when you look outside, you don't. I want. When you look outside, you are satisfied because God is a good father. So, how do you love yourself biblically? Well, you have to love yourself and tell yourself, I am wonderfully made. Psalm 139. When you look at the mirror, do you like the person you see? Do you love the person you see? For a long time, I have this feeling of sadness, this feeling of being negative, this feeling of self-defeat, and even hopelessness. No one told me that seeing myself with a kind and positive eye is important for my emotional well-being. I can be too hard on myself. How about you? When you don't love yourself, according to what the Bible says, seeing yourself in what Jesus has done, you see nothing but the worst of yourself. In fact, when you look at your flaw, we all have got weaknesses. We have got some setback here. When you look at him, you tend to magnify it than to see the grace of God. When you look at your fault, you find them, even if they may not be many. You may even hate yourself. When you hate yourself, you can end up with a martyr complex or a victim complex. Poor old me. The Bible tells us, in Psalm 139, verse 19, I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. My works, your works are wonderful. My soul knows that very well. When you look at this verse, what is the key to look at yourself and say, God, I'm wonderfully made. I'm pleased with what you have done to me. What is the key in this verse? The key in this verse is this word. My soul knows it very well. All your struggle is because your soul is your emotion. Your emotion is your imagination, your thoughts, your feeling, your thinking. Because your soul is unsettled. When the soul is unsettled, nothing is settled. Because your soul is unsettled with who you are. And so you want to be who you are not. You must be convinced deep within that God has made you and you are the only one. Unique. The only one. The one of his kind, you want to say that. And you must look at yourself and say, God, you make me steward as what I am. I am not this person. I don't have the height. I don't have the look. I don't have the smartness. I don't have the charm. I don't have this. I don't have... Lord, I'm not this person. But I look at myself and I say, I am what I am because you have made me what I am. And I'm going to start liking myself for who I am because you love me enough to die for me. See, many times when we look at ourselves, we want to be some other people. God has not made you as some other people. You are created in the image of God to bring him glory and pleasure. So look in the mirror next time. Even tonight. Even after my service, when you go to the toilet and you're washing your hand, look at the mirror and say, wow, I'm wonderfully made. And what's the key? The key is this. My soul knows it well. It starts from where? Here. Here. If here is unsettled, let me tell you, all other places will be what? Unsettled. Settle with yourself. I'm a redeemed person. I'm a person of value, a person of worth. So, love yourself. Say, I'm wonderfully made. Second principle, love yourself and say your identity is in Christ. Now, for the past in your life, you know, you have this issue that you make your look, your job, your accomplishment, you know, your performance, where you stay, the do and do and have to become the identity of your soul. You see, if I have good job, I have money, I have a good house, I have a good spouse, I have all this. Gee, now I feel so good. So a lot of the time, we let the external determine what is inside here. But now you need to turn back. And that is, let what is inside here. What is inside here? Jesus Christ, the hope of glory. The Father that said to Jesus, and he's saying to you, you are my beloved sons or daughter that I'm well pleased. Not the approval of the world, not the approval of the voice of man or popular opinion, not even what I say about myself, unless what I say with my mouth is according to the scripture. Can you say that? Amen to that. If it's not according to the scripture, don't confess it, don't say it, because it only make you depressed. So my identity is in Christ. You are made in God's image and likeness. You are his child. And one thing the Bible says, you are his workmanship. You are the piece of art. And one thing I can tell you from the Bible, God do not make junk. Say amen. God do not make junk. But one thing I can say about God, you know, in Australia, you have bulk collection. People throw out a lot of things. The things that amaze me, Some of the things that people throw out, another person can come and see as a piece of value. One thing I can say about myself, I was a junk. There was nothing good about me, but God saw something about me. In the same way, God sees you. God do not make junk. You are wonderfully made by Him. And that's where you should find your identity as a child of God. Amen. Finally, love yourself. This is something that many of us may get a bit troubled, but I want you to see in the light of God. Take care of your soul. We may not be familiar with this called soul care. The question I have to ask you, is it well with your soul? Apostle John wrote in a short letter to a brother, and he said this, "Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well." Paul wrote in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 23 to 24, May the God of peace make you holy in every way, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless until the coming of Jesus Christ. God will make it happen. He is faithful. We know that we are body, soul, and spirit. Many times our struggle in life is in our soul. The areas of our mind, emotion, feelings, and thoughts, and imagination. Our soul needs to come under the feet of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Whenever any feeling, thoughts, or emotion that is not according to the scripture, bring it down. Don't entertain it. You know, sometimes people forget to look after their body physically. I know some of you go to the gym, which is good, you know. And sometimes we can neglect our physical body. In the same way, we can also neglect to take care of our soul. And what happens if you don't take care of your soul? You have an unhealthy soul. Quite clearly, when your soul is healthy, you are able to love yourself and love other. But when your soul is unhealthy, when it is needy, it seeks attention, it becomes self-centered. So how do you take care of your soul? Sometimes you just have to learn to disconnect yourself from what that is happening and just have a silent moment with Jesus Christ. With His Word, with Christ. And let Him restore your soul, refresh your soul, revive your soul, so you are ready for others. I think of Mary and Martha. Mary sat at Jesus' feet to hear what He said. She soaked herself with His presence. While Martha was doing, she became tired. And when you are tired, you will what? Grumble. How many realize that? When you are tired, you grumble. So, who has a healthy soul? Mary or Martha? Without a healthy soul, it is hard to love others as you love yourself. Love yourself. How do you do that? Well, you got to see yourself wonderfully made and say to yourself, my soul knows it very well. I'm not going to doubt it. And you have to see your identity, not in your own achievement, your own accomplishment, but in Jesus Christ. And then you have to take care of your soul. Don't think of junk. Because if you think of junk, you will junk up your life. Think of the things that are wholesome, that are good, that are worthy of all praises. It builds your emotion. Why don't we pray this morning? Jesus loved us so much. He loved us so dear, so dearly. The right response is firstly, upward. Love God with your all. And if I love God, when I love God, there must be an outward expression. That is to love others. Love one another. Then as I look inside, I'm able to love myself. This morning, love. How is your love for God? How is your love for others? How is your love for yourself? Let me just come to this area. Love yourself. No matter what age you are, you can still struggle with loving yourself. Sometimes people say things that are so hurtful, and it sinks into our soul. A deep cut. But today I want you to know Jesus Christ comes to heal those that are downtrodden, those that has been bruised. Jesus Christ came and He said, I love you and I give myself for you. You may not see that you are a person of worth, a person of value, but I do see in you. This morning, may I encourage you, believe what the scripture say. You are wonderfully made. There is only one John. There is only one Matthew. There is only one Karen. Because God sees you as one. And He said, no matter what it is, it's time to let go, stop allowing the past to define you, who you are. Let your encounter with me, your moment with me, become the defining moment of your life.
This is the end of the message. We trust you've been blessed and encouraged from today's sermon. Please contact the church by email or call in with the phone number shown on the website if you need any help or would like further information about the church.